Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, synesthesia is a condition where sensory inputs to the brain are somewhat scrambled. For instance, sounds can be seen as colours. But there is a variation of the condition called ticker tape synesthesia, where a person actually sees the words they hear, kind of like real-life subtitles. Mark Price is a professor in cognitive psychology at the University of Bergen. Afternoon, Mark.
Hi there.
Is it known what causes synesthesia?
Well, we don't know for sure, but one speculation is that the bits of our brain which are dealing with how, well, basically representing how we spell words, so you know what words look like when we write them on a bit of paper or when we type them, that that's more interconnected with the parts of our brain which are responsible for other aspects of language processing and also for representing what words sound like. So it's really to do with interconnectivity in our brains. But of course, it's always very difficult to know exactly what the cause is. And even if some people's brains are a little bit more prone to be interconnected, those tendencies need to also be supported by stuff like, you know, how do you learn language and what are the circumstances of your own particular life? So there's probably a lot of different ingredients going into the mix, just as with other kinds of synesthesia, a mix between our kind of how we're born, you know, how our brains are kind of basically wired up and what environment we live in.
Yeah, but all the, you know, the various iterations, if you like, of synesthesia, it has even a kind of a common a component being found in that?
Well, it is, you know, the main theory really is this connectivity theory, that it's to do with just the way that our brains are communicating between all the different modules which are specialized for doing different things. And ticker tape synesthesia may be the same. But, you know, I think there's one other aspect of ticker tape synesthesia we need to remember, that because it's very much a visualization, you know, people are reporting seeing what words look like. We've also got to have pretty good visual imagery. You've got to be somebody who, you know, naturally tends to have a brain that supports seeing things in your mind's eye, and not everybody does that.
Mm. And the way people with ticker tape would see the words, is that uniform, or can people see it in different forms?
No, it seems to be quite different, different people. So, you know, the standard description is it's a bit like seeing subtitles in your mind's eye. But then, you know, some people will report, well, it's like looking at handwritten text. And other people will say, well, it's more like printed text. And they might be quite specific about, well, it looks like, you know, Times Roman or something like that. And then some people will say, well, it, you know, I see several words at once and they're kind of moving as if across the screen of my mind's eye from one direction or the other. Some people might only be seeing individual words. Some people might report seeing almost all the words they hear. And some people might say it's only just for some words. And then there's also another variation, which is really very understudied, which is people reporting that it's not so much that they're seeing what the words look like, but they're feeling like they're actually writing the words or feeling like they're typing them on the phone. You know, so for the newer generation, you're finding reports. It's not so much like typing them on a keyboard, but like tapping them out on your phone. These different experiences that people are reporting, they come in, you know, different shapes and sizes.
And for those people, is it words that are said to them or they might hear, or words that they're producing themselves? Or do they see, you know, the printed version either way?
Well, this is another area where it can depend. So, you know, the kind of most commonly discussed form of ticker taping is when you see the words that somebody else is speaking, right? But it could also be that when you could have a similar sensation when you speak the words yourself, and then also when you're not speaking out loud, but you're just thinking in words, you might also have an experience of seeing the words in your mind's eye. So what you find is some people will kind of have all of those, and some people might just have one of them.
One can't help but wonder, though, given that there are, you know, versions of synesthesia, is ticker tape to some degree or another culturally influenced, in that we have a generation of people, you know, who look at films with the subtitles on, or, you know, a lot of their communication is is in type?
That's a great question. And, you know, I don't think we're in a position to really know yet how cultural factors have influenced ticker taping. But, you know, for what it's worth, the phenomenon was reported at the end of the 19th century by the famous scientist Francis Galton. He was writing about this. So it's certainly not a kind of a recent weird thing that's happened with, you know, computers or modern technology or anything.
Yeah.
It's been around for a long time. So it's probably been around for, my guess is it's probably been around for as long as people have been, you know, learning to read and write.
Yeah. And for most people who have this, is it just really a description of whether it's ticker tape or any other form of synesthesia, is it just a description of how they experience the word rather than it's something that's driving them mad and they'd like to get rid of it?
Well, there again, you're hitting on something which we need to know more about. So I'd say that, you know, there's going to be some people who say, well, this is just kind of the way I experience things. And wow, do other people not experience this? Could be really surprised that this isn't kind of completely normal. And then other people might find it quite fun and they might kind of use it as a party trick, for example, support little tricks like making it easier to spell words backwards or to speak backwards or things like that. But then for some people, and I suspect this is a minority, but for those minority, it can be a big issue. It can actually be quite annoying, quite disturbing. So one thing, for example, people might say is that if they're in a situation where there's multiple streams of conversation going on around them, they get these multiple visualizations and that can be really confusing.
Yeah.
And then there's also examples, and this is, you know, really quite anecdotal at this stage, but just hearing reports of people maybe talking about their kids, their adolescent kids having, I know, a bit of an obsession with this experience and it being quite disturbing. So I think there's definitely a lot of research still needs to be done in this, you know, to answer your question.
Yeah.
For some people, it's definitely not a great thing. For other people, it just the way stuff is.
Yeah. And is there any kind of help in that regard? Because it's maybe the rough analogy, but it's kind of a bit like having tinnitus that you can't get rid of it, but people can kind of train their brains to not notice it as much as they, as they did when they first developed it. And in the same way, you can navigate through life and not be distracted by the colours or the words if you need to.
Mm, Again, you know, I don't think we have an answer to that yet. To the best of my knowledge, no one's actually developed a treatment for this, partly because, you know, to say it's you're developing a treatment implies that usually the ticker taping is somehow dysfunctional, whereas in fact, there's nothing wrong with you know, the way many people experience ticker taping. It's not a problem at all. For some of the people who have had ticker taping and it's been quite annoying, sometimes it just goes away. You know, so I've heard reports of people saying, you know, well, I had this when I was a teenager and then it just sort of faded away. That does seem to happen sometimes.
Ah.
So, you know, if it's something that's bugging you, one thing might just be to be patient.
Yeah, because I suppose, yeah, the brain would kind of adjust to. And I have interviewed people in the past. I remember I interviewed a chap who's an artist who produces work based on albums, that he will listen to an album and then he will paint the colour he sees because the music transfers into that. One of our listeners has got in contact, though, Mark, to say, I have aphantasia, aja. I've no mind's eye whatsoever. What is that?
So aphantasia is a word that's been introduced fairly recently to describe people whose general visual imagery. So now we're not talking about ticker taping or synesthesia. We're just talking about how well can you imagine things in your mind's eye. So I say to you, imagine the face of somebody you know well, or imagine what your house looks like or something like that. So some people will go, you know, I can do that really easily. It's almost like looking at the real thing. And then other people go, I just can't do that. You know, there's nothing there. My mind doesn't do that trick. I can't imagine what things look like. So that's what aphantasia is. So my guess is that your listener is reporting that really quite extreme lack of inner inner visual sensation when you try and imagine things. But you could check with your listener whether that's correct.
That's all fascinating stuff. Mark, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Mark Price there, a professor in cognitive psychology at the University of Bergen.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.